Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the March 16th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the second Sunday in Lent. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Come as you are. If you know every scripture or none at all.
If you have lost hands and live with a day through good works.
Or if you kneel at God's feet with a million hungry questions.
Come as you are.
This is God's house.
None are turned away.
You are welcome here.
Next is the hymn, Come Thou Almighty King.
Against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though a war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, My Hope is Built.
We turn to our gospel reading, found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. This is the word of God. I continue in our message series, Everything in Between, today focusing on the contrast between what is so often seen as faith or works. And before I jump right into my planned introduction, I just want to put in there that Will is here to help spread the news that gospel polka is spreading through the nation. It's a happy sound. It takes the gospel words and just raises them to a whole nother level. Pay attention next time Will plays and you'll see exactly what I mean. One day it'll be on all the radio stations. You just wait. Gospel polka, it's coming. We live in a world that glorifies hustle. Productivity is praised. Busyness is worn like a badge of honor. Slowing down feels like, falling behind. But here in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we find a story that challenges that mindset. The story of two sisters, the sisters of Lazarus. One of them is caught up on doing, and the other one chooses to be. This passage speaks directly to the balance between faith and works, reminding us that before we serve, and there are many of us who are servants, many of us who are Marthas, before we serve, we must first sit at the feet of Jesus. Have you ever felt overwhelmed, simply buried by the responsibilities of life? Maybe it's that pile of laundry. Maybe it's that to-do list that you've only just started and feel like, I'll never finish this. Not in this day, not in this week, maybe not in this lifetime. What overwhelms you? Is it work? Is it family? Is it ministry? Is it personal commitments that can quickly pile up? Sometimes we equate busyness with purpose. I've got a to-do list and it's a long one, so therefore I'm doing important things. Are they really important things? Today's passage teaches us a better way. In the glimpse that we get of Mary and Martha, we see two different approaches to life and to faith. One is consumed by the doing and keeping busy, while the other is simply focused on being. Which one are you? A doer? A beer? The tension between doing and being. Jesus, in our passage, enters the house of Mary and Martha, and Martha is in full-on hosting mode. She's got people in her house. She's the host. She's busy hosting them. She's preparing. She's cooking. She's managing details, while her sister Mary simply sits at Jesus' feet, listening. Anyone with siblings know that tension that can arise when one seems to be doing all the work and the other, well, appears to just be relaxing. I'm looking back at sisters. They're grinning at each other. Oops. Okay. I'll pay attention to my notes and not look up as much and notice the little looks of knowledge between folks. It is here in this situation of Martha being very busy that she stops for a moment, paying attention to her sister, noticing that there is no helping coming from Mary whatsoever. And she enlists Jesus, saying, will you tell her to get busy with me? This is very important. I'm the host and I'm hosting. Help her host with me. And Jesus turns it around and says, what she's doing is important. Just as important as what you're doing. You're worried about many things. But really, between the two of you, Mary has chosen the better. Sibling rivalry is real. And even among even faithful believers, you may not be related to the person you are bothered by. But if you're a Martha and busy at work and you see your sister in faith sitting and relaxing, and inside my hunch is that you want to talk to her and say, come on, help me out. You want to talk to him and say, come on, get up on this roof with me, clean it with me. Many of us have felt that way. We carry the weight of responsibility while the other just seems to be in a dreamland, daydreaming, enjoying the moment. But the deeper truth that comes from this passage, the deeper truth is that God meets us in the spaces between our relationships. God is found not only in our work or in our worship, but also in the way that we navigate our love and concern, our connection to each other. And in our connection to each other, there will be times of tension. You're not doing enough. You're doing just sitting. The expectations within us, within our families, within our relationships are there. In this story, Jesus is inviting Martha and Mary and us to find the Lord in the in-between, in the tug of war between duty and devotion. Martha's struggle. Martha wasn't wrong for serving. The issue wasn't her work, but it was her worry. She had become so focused on doing for Jesus that really she missed the opportunity to simply be with Jesus. It's not in Luke's gospel, but it is in Matthew, where Jesus says to her, "I will not be with you always." He adds that little piece to the reason why what Mary is doing is very important. To be with Jesus, this is a challenge for many of us. We are doers. We see a job, we see a need, and we get busy doing it, meeting it, accomplishing it. And after we've accomplished it, we say, "There, good. Been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt." When do we be with Jesus, those of us who are doers? And then as well, while we are in relationship with others, it's easy to compare what I'm doing and say what I am busy at, I'm doing harder and more of than you are. Sibling rivalry often stems from our different personalities, our differing priorities. Martha's frustration wasn't just about Mary's choice, but it was about feeling unseen and even unappreciated. Have you ever felt like you were doing all the work while someone else got all the praise? That never feels good. Perhaps it was Martha who felt this way, always being the one to take care of things while Mary had the luxury of spiritual reflection. But Jesus wasn't addressing Martha's workload. He was addressing her heart. And he was calling Martha to see that God was not only present in her service, but God was also present in the tension between she and Mary. And Jesus was asking her to trust that her worth was not tied to her task. Her worth was tied to her connection, her relationship to Jesus. For years, I would argue with my uncle. He was a doer. He was a handyman. He painted houses. He repaired things. He felt worthwhile only as he accomplished. Well, I mentioned to him in his busy years of doing the many things that he did, I said, "What about when you're sick?" He said, "I'm worthless." I said, "No, you're not. No, you're not. Ask your wife, my aunt. Ask your kids, my cousins, and they will repeat to you that you are worthwhile whether you drive one nail or repair one piece of a house. You are worthwhile." It was later in life that he had to adjust his own sight of his work equals worth. That when he could no longer do things, his hands no longer held tools. When he could no longer paint a straight line, he laid the tools aside. He did more sitting and contemplating about his worth while he could not work. That's a Martha. Now, Mary's choice, focusing on relationship over routine. Mary chose differently. She wasn't being lazy. She was being intentional. She recognized that the best use of her time was to be near Jesus, learning from him, growing in faith because of it. Today, we have endless distractions. Just notice when you have a remote control in your hand and the commercial comes on and you're not really interested in the program that just got interrupted, and so you begin to look at what else is on the next 200 channels. I know how your TV systems work. I do. those endless distractions, social media, schedules packed with meetings, never-ending to-do lists. Like Mary, we must choose to pause. We must choose to make space for God. And here again, sibling dynamics play into this story in a very powerful way. Perhaps Mary, aware of her sister's frustration, you know those looks, those cruise by, you're not helping, I'm doing it all, can't you see? You know, those silent looks of scorn, silent looks of, you know better. You should be here helping me. What's wrong with you? Perhaps Mary had to push back that sense of guilt of not helping. Maybe she had learned that no matter how much Martha disapproved, she needed this moment with Jesus. Sometimes, choosing what is best means disappointing others who have a different expectation of us. Long, long ago, we made choices between good and bad. We've left those years behind us as children, as teenagers. And now in our many years, and I won't name how many, in the many years we've lived, we are often choosing not between good and bad, but between what is good and what is better for us to do. Or even yet, later in life, choosing between what's better for us and what is best. Hopefully we get to this place in our lifetimes. Because when we are choosing between better and best, so often, like in Eric Erickson's developmental stages, he talks about, here's where we invest in the next generation. Here's where we turn back and say, you know, my days are numbered. But while I still have breath, while I still can do some things, I'm going to pour my life and my understanding of life into others. Choosing between what's better and what's best. Even here, in the quiet tension between Mary and Martha, God is present. He's not only working in Mary's choice to listen, but also in Martha's struggle to understand. God is calling both sisters, Mary and Martha, and us, to a deeper connection. Not just to God, but also a deeper connection to each other. And it requires finding balance. Finding a balance that causes faith, that fuels works. That from our faith life, we then choose to do things and accomplish things. This passage doesn't teach us to choose between faith or works. It teaches us the right order. It is true, we've heard the passage from James chapter 2, verse 26, that it reminds us that faith without works is dead. So we do need both faith and works, that what we believe and what we do, they line up and match instead of having great distance between, let alone a great deal of disjointedness. Faith that fuels works. When we prioritize time with God, our actions are led by God's Spirit, not just by our stress. Phone call rings, something's broken, we go into action and say, I've got to fix it right now, correct? When we start with a place of faith, we pay less attention to the phone ringing and more about our North Star and our values. Faith fuels works. Rest is not weakness. Slowing down to reconnect with our Lord and Savior is not a waste of time. It is the source of our strength. Serving, doing, should be an overflow of our faith life. When we sit for a time at Jesus' feet first, then when we get up to serve, we serve with joy, laughter, enthusiasm, rather than obligation. Martha was exhausted, not simply because she was working, but because she was working without worship first. And we too easily fall into this pattern. Phone rings, something's broken, let's leap into action to fix it. Serving God without spending time first with God, wrong order, wrong order. When we flip the order and prioritize faith first, our work then becomes no more purposeful, and it becomes spirit-led. And in the process, we begin to see God in the spaces between relationships, those spaces where frustrations and love collide, where expectation and grace meet. God is there, refining us, teaching us, reminding us that both Mary and Martha have a place in God's kingdom. There's a group of ladies that have been friends for years, and lo and behold, they were traveling together in the same car and had an accident. All three died. So as they're standing at the gates of heaven, St. Peter is seeing them and asking them, well, in your lifetime, how did you live? Were you a Christian? And the first one said, oh yes, I'm a Christian all my life. I'm a part of the Catholic Church, and you could see by my rosary beads how worn they are, how many times I prayed, how many years I've been praying and being faithful. Oh my, said St. Peter, welcome to God's kingdom. The next lady stepped up to St. Peter and, are you a Christian? And how have you lived your life? And she pulls out her well-worn Bible and says, I'm a Southern Baptist, and I have studied every day of my life God's word. I believe it, and I live it. Oh my, St. Peter said, welcome into God's kingdom. The next came a Presbyterian. Are you a Christian? What have you done with your life? And she said, oh, I'm a Presbyterian, very faithful. I brought a casserole. We love to eat. Practical steps to finding balance. So how do we apply this lesson to daily lives? Well, here are some practical steps to ensure that our faith fuels what we do in our works. Start your day with Jesus. Before checking your phone, I heard that, before checking your to-do list, before planning that to-do list, yes, spend some time with Jesus. Spend some time studying scriptures. And whether you use the daily bread, whether you use our Lent devotional that we're using for our study time these weeks of Lent, whatever it is you use, if it gets you studying God's word and pausing for a moment to connect, to reconnect you to your Lord and Savior, best way to start a day. Schedule your Mary moments. Intentionally set aside time to be in God's presence. Your to-do list will fill itself out very quickly. There's much to do. That mountain of laundry won't wait. Well, there is tomorrow, but that's another subject. In the midst of our busyness, schedule Mary moments where you sit at Jesus' feet. It'll make a difference. When you serve, serve with the right heart. Evaluate why you're serving. Are you serving out of obligation or out of deep love for Jesus? You're no longer deciding between good and bad. You're deciding between what's good and better, if not between what's better and best. Serve with the right heart. Learn to say No. Not every opportunity is a calling. Prioritize what truly aligns with God's purpose for your life. If you are where I think you are in your journey, you will be choosing between what's better and what's best. And in making that choice, you will clearly see there are things that you don't belong doing. If the water pipe is broken and you have absolutely no knowledge about water flowing in pipes, how to reconnect pipes, things like that, the answer is no. But that's a simple one. There are other ones that are more subtle. You're not a plumber. Don't fix the plumbing. Learn to say no. Finally, seek God in your relationships. Pay attention to the ways that God is shaping you through the tensions. When the conflicts arise, see how God is shaping you through those conflicts. Notice the love between you and those closest to you. Watch how God is using them in your lives to rub off the tough spots, the burrs. Rub off those rough areas in life. See God in your relationships. So what do I want to say in all of this? Are you living like a Martha? Busy, overwhelmed, and running on empty? Are you making time like Mary to be with Jesus? The key is not to stop serving, but to ensure that faith comes first. And when we get this right, this aspect of what we do and our faith life, our works become more meaningful. They become more intentional as we choose between what's better and what's best. When we are dealing with sibling relationships, whether it is between our biological sisters and brothers or between our faith family, brothers and sisters, those can be complicated. Jesus invites us to move beyond comparison and resentment. I'm doing more, you're not doing enough. Whether you see yourself in Martha's frustration or in Mary's devotion, the invitation to us is the same. Come, come and sit at Jesus' feet. And then from that place, everything we do from there on has a deeper meaning. Your heart will find some rest, true rest, and your relationships will reflect God's love at work in your life. So this week, friends, take a Mary moment. I know you are, many of you are Marthas. Take a Mary moment. Each day, pause, pray, listen before dividing up your tasks. Let your faith fuel what you do, your works. And through it all, may your service be a joyful reflection of your time with Jesus.
Next is the hymn, Take My Life.
Let them flow in streams of grace.
Next is Special Music on the Accordion by Will Knoop. Next is the hymn, I Love to Tell the Story.
Let's sing just one verse, because Pastor went on and on like he did. Believe that good news and go in peace.
Amen.